May we pray to the Lord that He will guide us as again. Lord Jesus, we ask You for, as we open the Word, that You guide us and You give us the right words, right speech, the right wisdom that You ask us to have it as when we open the Word of God, that everyone will be edified, touched by it, encouraged, and his Christian life will be strengthened. In His blessed name, amen.
Amen.
There's a verse in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Honestly, many times I went through this verse. I did not notice it. I just read it and I didn't really think more or much about it. I shared it with a young brother and what he thinks about the verse, Roman. And he told me what he thoughts about it. He has beautiful thoughts about the verse. And I was very encouraged to see how he thoughts about it. So I think if I call him up here now and he to tell us what he told me, what he thinks about this verse. For me, it was a random verse that I just read, didn't pay attention to it. But when I discussed it with him, I did see different things in it. So I would like to call Roman to come up here and to give us a nice ministry about what he thinks about this verse. And you can take the whole time. If not, we can take it after you. Come in.
So when Brother Malad showed me the verse at Kids Club, I pretty much had like a lot of different thoughts, but I think the main thought he was trying to get me to look at is the boldness, like the boldness they had to do the things of the Lord. And something like when I, like he told me before to like prepare for this, so I kind of did. So like yesterday at Young People's, we were looking at Joseph, and a lot of like the things in 13 I saw through Joseph's story. And I think the boldness was one thing when he was telling the dreams to the baker and the butler, because it took a lot of boldness for him to say those things. Like he didn't really know if it was going to be the right thing or if he was going to say, like he was going to like interpret it well, but he went through it anyway because he had that trust in the Lord. And I think that's a lesson for, like I said, I'm gonna let Brother Malad go on with his message, but so like I think that's a lesson for us. Like we have to trust in the Lord, like even though we don't know if we're saying the right things or we're gonna like we're like structuring well or anything, it just the Lord will take over. And I think a brother also talked about that last time in the same chapter in Acts when the Spirit took over when Peter was speaking. And I think you see that too, like where the Spirit kind of all you have to do is be a vessel and the Spirit will use you any way it can. And also one thing I saw is they had been with the Lord, with Jesus and Joseph as well. You see throughout the whole chapter, you see the Lord was with him through through the whole chapter 38, 39 and 40. You see the Lord was with him in the prison and at Potiphar's house. And you see here they were with Jesus, Peter and John. So you can see they were physically with Jesus and learning under him. So they were prepared for this moment. And also you see his Spirit was with them too while he was speaking to these people. So I think that's another reassurance for us as believers. Like it's hard when we're going through life, we have all these difficulties. Like, I don't know, for me, it's like school and like finding an internship and everything. But for somebody else, it could be the job or medicine, like going through medical problems or something. We just have to have that trust in the Lord, you know, have that faith. That faith will cause us, like, that'd be the backbone of having that trust in the Lord. So that's just a little like small thing of what Brother Malad is going to talk about like right now. So
I hope you were encouraged. I was very encouraged by our young brother. Yeah, so it's the Word of God is so rich. This verse, if you take one verb of it, you can actually have a ministry on it. You can talk about boldness. You can talk about them that they were unlearned and unintelligent. You can talk about how they were perceived. And the other people also, they wondered. All these verbs can alone, that's the world perceive us. And we can have a whole ministry about it. This is the word, and they walking with the Lord. They perceive that they were walking with the Lord Jesus. They have the flavor of the Lord in them. So it's one verse, but we can have multiple ministries on it. But what a grace divine it is to take someone like Peter, who himself he knew that he did, deny the Lord, to be in the same category, walking with John, who was in the bosom of the Lord. And it takes a lot of grace for this to happen. And for Peter, the one that who denied the Lord, he had boldness before. He tried to rebuke the Lord before, telling him, you will not be going to the cross. And the Lord has to gently stop him and rebuke him and tell him why he has to go to the cross. He had boldness, but it wasn't directed. It wasn't tuned. And it was in the wrong place, the wrong timing. He has boldness when he was very weak when in front of people to acknowledge and to say, he is my Lord. He denied him. And although the Lord has told him that Satan will be sifting you and I will be praying for you, but he still failed. So he grieved when the Lord told him, Peter, do you love me? And he told him, you know that I love you. But in the third time, he told him, you know that you know all things. You know that me, in my boldness, I didn't have to rebuke you. You know that I denied you. You know all that, but because of your grace, I am where I am right now. So he looking at all this, Peter, he learned. He walked with the Lord. Now we come to his boldness. His boldness here, we talk about it. It has to be when they perceived it. It didn't just happen. In chapter 2 of Acts, when they start talking different languages and different dialogues, the Pharisees or the people that they were around, they were kind of confused. And they said they were drinking and they were full of wine. And then Peter stood with the 11. Now you remember before when he was between the people, he couldn't stand up. But now he stood up with the 11 and boldly told them, ye men of Israel and all ye the inhabitants of Judea, hear my words and hearken to them. That's boldness. Hear my words, hearken to them. These are not drunken men. They are not full of wine because it is the third hour. But these people are just funny. It's what's the Joel the prophet talked about. That the Lord in the last days, he will pour his spirit into your sons, into your daughters, into your prophets, that they all the signs and wonders will happen. They all will talk about the coming of the Lord. And he thought, then he goes, he speaks about him coming, that the man of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, he was born to a witness to by God to you by wonders and power. And the language that he's speaking, hear my words. He wasn't scared of them. He didn't back off until he wants to go to their conscience. He wants to go and tell them that this one, what's happening is that all because God wanted to direct you to his son, to the Lord, to the one that you crucified, to the one that after he shows all these wonders and power in the midst of you, and with the knowledge of God, you with the wicked hands, you have delivered him and you crucified him. So he's giving all this, and he's bold, and he's telling them. This is Peter, the one that who denied the Lord, standing saying to them that you deny the Lord, you crucified him. It's an act that he himself failed in, but he can't have the strength to stand up and say it because of the grace of God. So we need a lot of boldness to stand up. I hope that we can stand in our work, in our life, in our private time when we sin, and we can have boldness to go to God and tell him, I sinned, not just to brush it away, put it under the rug, because God is love and he knows that I'm weak. He knows that I know it. Be bold and go to the judgment and ask God to forgive you, because sometimes we are cutting off the flesh is necessary so we can continue with the Lord the right path. So he goes to them and then he told them, but this Lord Jesus, the one that he died in Acts 2, also he brings David, that the Lord he rose up and he is Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, and who calls about his name, he shall be saved. So he's bold. He's talking about, and if you go to Acts chapter 3, the same scenario happens, but in this is a little different story. It's about someone who is, crippled, or someone who's lame, that he couldn't walk, and they put him in the front of the a temple or wherever they want to go so they can get some, have some money. And then he looked at Peter and John and he wanted to get some money from them. And then Peter told him, look at us, we have no money. But in the name of the Lord Jesus, you walk. And the person said that his ankle was strengthened, his feet were, and his legs were strengthened, and he started walking and praising God. Not praising Peter and John, but he was praising God because they were bold and they directed him to God. But honestly, how many of us, because this boldness needs faith. It's not good to have boldness and wisdom as what Peter did in Acts 2, but in Acts 3 is boldness and faith. If I see someone who is crippled on the street, do I have, me personally, I don't have enough faith to go tell him, in the name of the Lord Jesus, walk and be healed. Because I know something inside me, what if he didn't? How am I be looking like? How am I going to look in front of all these people? If I tell him, in the name of the Lord Jesus, stand up. And he didn't stand up. So, but Peter had faith, and because of his faith, God honored it. And later in the chapter, we know that because of the person's faith, the sick man also, he honored it. In both chapters 2 and 3, those people, they were pricked into their heart. So Peter had a chance even to kill them. Like, you know what? They are devastated. They knew that they did the wrong thing. But Peter had also in his boldness love. Not his love to God or to the Lord. The love of the Lord to other people. Because when they were pricked, they asked into their heart, they asked, what we shall do? He told them, repent and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, and the refreshing of life shall be coming into you. And the 3,000 people, they were added. He could easily lose 3,000 people if he kept just going bold and say, you know what, you did this. Boldness was condemnation, can sometimes destroy. But he has a boldness. He had the love of Christ, how he sees how Christ loved others. So he brought them to a point where they were pricked. They knew they're wrong. Then he brings love to them so he can restore them. And also the boldness should come with faith. So as with Peter in the book of Acts, chapter 4 or chapter 3. Now, just about the boldness. How did he learn it? Because if we know that the Lord Jesus, he walked with the Lord. The Lord Jesus, in his Luke chapter 4, verse 25, there's a story talked about in his beginning of his ministry. He went to the temple and they give him the scroll. So when he went to those people, when we go to minister, if I go to a new meeting, if I go to St. Albans, we have a lot of some St. Albans used to go. If I go to St. Albans, I'm going to try to present something from the book of from the Word of God just to encourage the saints so they can feel good. And when Brother Milad comes next time, oh yeah, he's encouraging brother. We like him. You know what? And we like him to talk. So I can have fame for myself and the people encouraged. One time I went to a faraway assembly where the serving brothers who serve the Lord. And one of the sisters told him, aren't you so and so? He told her, yes, I am. That brother turned back to me and told me, no, she knows me. I'm like, that's not important. And like, he was so happy that he was even well known in a faraway assembly that his name was, she knows me. Like, you see, but the Lord, when they give him the scroll, he did not choose a topic to talk to them just to encourage them. What did he talk about? He talked about Elijah. In the time of Elijah, it was a famine and many widows. But the Lord was sent only to the widow of, I believe, Serpina, and he was sent to her. From all the widows of Israel, the Lord was sent to this one. And there were many sick in the time of Naaman and in the time of Elisha, but the Lord, Elisha only healed Naaman. They were very lepers, but Naaman, he was the only one that who healed. So he's talking about election. How many times if I come in here and I start talking to you about election, and how many of you will be yawning? And we will be, what he's talking about? Tell me just about the blood that I am redeemed, I'm going to heaven, and I am all good with my sins. Don't talk about election. Keep those to the other days. So he didn't choose that, the Lord. He chose something what they needed to know. And that was his boldness, because they, later on in the book of Luke, they say that they gnashed their teeth. He knew that they were gnashing. They knew that their heart was full of evil, malice, and they want to just beat him up. They knew that their lips are foaming. They want to curse him and they want to just take him. They took him to the top of the mountain. They wanted to throw him. He knew all that. He still said what God has told him, or what he has seen that it has to be said to that assembly at that time. May we have that boldness when we go to an assembly, not to have a fame for ourselves, but to what the Lord has in his heart for us to convey to that assembly what is needed for them to be encouraged and for them to be going on. And even if their heart will be pricked, we have the love that we can bring to them, that they can be also edified. The Lord also, he learned from him not only just to be bold, but also to be humble. Because the Lord, this Lord who talked about election and who talked about all this, if the Lord told for the children to come, ye all children come to me. And he is the Lord that when he saw a widow woman with his son, only son, is dead on the bier, he felt compassion. And he is the one that who said a word and that son came back to life. The one that who had to bend down and to talk to a leper and to heal him. The one for the children to come to him, he has to also sit down on the grass for them to come and sit down on his lap. This is the Lord, and this is love of the Lord. So he sees all that. He put it in one boldness. He used it. Yes, say the word of God. And in the same time, it was love, it was faith, and it was wisdom that was used. May the Lord give us wisdom and love of Christ to others, and the humility of Christ, that how he humbled himself, how he, that when we do something good, when we, the Lord always served others, he never served himself, that when we serve, not because we are feeling that we are inferior to anyone, just because we, the love of Christ, we do it because for the other person he is better than me. Because Christ died for him. I do it for my brother, for his own sake. Yes, we don't go walk into the world and with a head this way say, I am humble. No, we go ahead. We proud people, son. We are proud people. We are bold. But also, we have humility in us and we have the love of Christ that we show it to others so they can also say, he is walking with Christ. Must be the flavor of Christ. Now, those people, when they looked at them, the verse says they perceived. So with looking deep into them, they looked into themselves. So what do they have that they are so bold? Obviously, they were fishermen. They were nothing but a fisherman, that they knew about the sea, about the wind, if it goes west or east. Most of the likely they were in Tiber's fishing. And certain times there's no fish. They knew when the fish comes during the night in that area. So they knew all this, but they didn't know how to be bold, or how to preach the gospel this way. So they look into them, they found nothing in them, but to be no education, no anything else that will support their boldness. So they looked at them in a different way. Do they have a rank? Are they in a stage? Are they doctors? Are they something that they are well-known people, that they have boldness, that they have something? No, they were private men. They were unlearned. But yet, so they have to understand, there's nowhere, this boldness, no way to come just because they were walking with the Lord. Not because of the of who they are in themselves. So ranks, well, if I say another story, one of the meetings, not here, back home, we have a person who came in, who's a judge, who came in and he thought that he can turn the assembly to a different assembly. Ranks and this, and he is the only one that knows how to sing and this, and how to preach and who to preach and when to preach and why this and why that. And in the end, happened to be that he left because he couldn't stay in an assembly that organized. He did do a lot of damage, but in the end, after they discovered, they knew that it's only damage, so he had to leave. He couldn't find a space for him to be in a position that I'm better than you, because he found unlearned, or they were learned, but they were humble people sitting down and they just wants to praise God without any ranks. So this boldness did not come, but it came from the Lord himself. So if we read it again, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. So they were marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There's something about, when I focus about the unlearned and ignorant men, sometimes we feel that also we are not good enough to do some service to the Lord, or we are weak enough to do any service to the Lord. I just pray, may the Lord help us and heal us from a disease that says, what can I do to the Lord? How can I, who is me to serve the Lord? If you go back to Gideon, he was threshing wheat in the winepress. And the angel came to him and told him, oh, you Jehovah, with thee, you mighty man, man of valor. He told him, Jehovah with us? Where is Jehovah, the one you talk about? Where is he? Is he with us? Where is the Jehovah, the one that our God and fathers told us that he brought us out of Egypt? And where is he? Look at us, the Midianites are killing us. We are in hunger and famine. He told him, you go with your strength this night and you will save your people. He told him, no, I'm weak. I am the least of my brethren, of my house of Manasseh, and I am very weak and I'm very poor. I cannot save them. He told him, Jehovah then, not the angel, Jehovah told him, I am with thee. He took Gideon, the one that who is the least, who is in a wine press doing some wheat to save to his food. That night, he took him, and that night he took all what his dad, Baal, worship that was there. He took it down, and he built an altar to the Lord. And next, he went to a war with the Midianites. And with 300 men, they were, I believe, if you calculate right, they were 32,000 soldiers. And the Lord told him in the beginning, there are too many for me. So if you think that you are weak, the Lord came for the weak. He told him, there are too many for me because I want to save the Midian. I want to save Israel. And then they're going to say, because of our name, or because of our own hands, we saved ourselves. No. Tell them who is timid and who is afraid to go home. 22,000 people, they went home. 10,000 people stayed. He took him to the brook and told them, well, whoever is lappeth like a dog to drink, and whoever into their knees to drink, the lappeth one you take, there were 300 people only left. 300 people, and the Midianites, they say that their camels, they were as the number of the sand of the sea. How many camels they had. They couldn't number them. How many people in the Midianites? But yet, because Jehovah was with him, they were little. And Jehovah conquered, and Jehovah helped a small Gideon to serve him because his heart was willing to serve the Lord. And if you take a woman, may see that the people that the Lord chose are not better than you and me. They're not in a better shape than you and me. Even I think we are living in a better society and in a better shape than them. He came for the weak. He came for this woman that she was possessed with evil spirits. And how many times you can tell that she was raped? How many times that she was injured? That she was naked? That the life on her is hard? You know, when the evil spirits, we know from the book of Luke how it throws you in the water from that person, that man. It wanted to kill them, how they injure themselves, even cut themselves and do things wrong to themselves. This woman, the Lord used her. And with even a language that when she said, Rabboni, Mary, Rabboni, and all that. But then he told her, go tell, he sent her to be the, how you call it, the mother of, the apostle of the apostles or something. Like, he told her, go tell my brethren that I ascend to my God and your God. She is the one that she can convey such a message that every time we read it, we are refreshed and we are so encouraged by a woman that she was weak, that she was injured in her life. The Lord turned her upside down and led her to be a service for him. So may the Lord heal us from, I am weak and what shall I do to the Lord? And I can't serve him. No, he only needs you. As long as you acknowledge it, he will strengthen you. Yes, you can go to Paul and say, your strength, my strength is sufficient for thee. But we do need healing in this matter because we're not serving the Lord as much. We like to come and talk and serve the Lord in between us. But also, it's good to serve the Lord. Be bold Be wisdom with our boldness. You do not want to give too much truth of the word of God to people who don't know the truth, because you might injure them. Even that's what Paul did. I wasn't planning to go into it, but if you go to Galatians chapter 2, he said that he gave some of the truth in privately. Why? Because those people, they were still new in their faith. They couldn't bear if he cannot tell them the whole truth about the gospel. He was giving them in little pieces by pieces privately, so he will not, so they can grow. Before we go tell people, you are sinners and you must be redeemed, tell him why he's a sinner. Tell him what he is doing is not according to God's mind. Before we start with the judgment, you're not a believer, you're going to go to hell and condemnation. That's in the end, but first, tell him why he is doing wrong. Because a lot of people, they don't see what they're doing wrong. They just see it is, I'm fine. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to work and I'm not upsetting anyone. I have my wife and I'm married. I'm not cheating on her. She's not cheating on me. And we all go all good. And we just, you know what? We live life as normal. But he's not saved. But this kind of life will not save him. I can't go to him and tell him, whatever you're doing is wrong and you are condemned. He will not understand it. We can give him the truth why he is condemned because of sin and all. And then we go ahead. So we need wisdom with our boldness. We need faith in it. And we also need to know that we are never weak or to serve the Lord. As weak as we can, the Lord will strengthen us, that he make us a vessel of honor that he can use us for him. His blessed name.